Good morning. Great to see you, Trinity, and welcome to worship today. I'm Catherine Fluck Price. I'm one of the pastors, and it's wonderful to be here on a long weekend together. A few things that I'd like to share with you. First of all, if you are here for the first time, we are so glad to welcome you and glad that you are worshiping with us today. We also have another special guest back with us. And that's this handsome guy up here on the front row in his uniform. Most of you know Aaron has been the associate pastor here for about 5 years and left us 5 weeks ago as he was commissioned to be a Navy chaplain and he was at officer training up in Rhode Island. And now he is here for the weekend before he heads to South Carolina for the next leg of his training, and welcome back. It is great to see you, and I know it's good for you to be with the family as well. I want to remind you all that our mission box this morning is for Family Promise, and there are wooden boxes by each of the exit doors where you can make a gift to that wonderful organization. We are a part of Family Promise, which provides transitional housing for those who are without a home. They are housed in churches for a week at a time, and then when they get to the point where they can move into transitional housing beyond that in a more permanent setting, they do that for about a year as well. So I thank you for your generosity to them. You know, when we moved to Gainesville about a little over 2 years ago, people would ask me now, what is it that brought you to Gainesville or brought you back to Gainesville? And I would say, well, I'm serving as one of the pastors of Trinity. And they would say, oh, that's the big church. And I didn't really know how to respond. I mean, what do you say to that, right? So I began to think and pray about it. And then my response began to be, Trinity is certainly a big-hearted church. And I have experienced that with you all over and over again. The big-heartedness of this congregation is clear in the way we welcome and the way we serve and the way we give up our resources. And so I am glad to be a part of you and glad to be home here at Trinity. So I say to you this morning, as we say each week, welcome home. So let me invite you now to stand up and say hello to somebody. Introduce yourself, reach across the aisle, meet somebody new.
Stretched on, His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever.
Forever God is strong. Forever God. 3:17 says, "He will create calm with His love, and He will rejoice over us in singing." Oh God, I pray that when the storms of life rage, we will remember these words and find refuge, comfort and peace in Your sheltering care. Make us aware, O God, of Your singing in our life as we make Your salvation more clear to us each day. Through our Savior Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, You can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. You are mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. Take me as You find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again, give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
Join me in affirming our faith with another affirmation that we have written to embody our theme for this week, which is being big-hearted. So join me now. We believe that human beings were created in God's image to live in loving relationships with God and one another, and to care for creation as we carry on God's work in the world. We believe that God calls us open our hearts to celebrate the diversity of humanity, to welcome all people, to offer compassion, and to seek justice and mercy for our neighbors. In response to God's generous love and extravagant grace revealed through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we offer our whole selves to the work of bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is. We have an opportunity now to gather together as a community and pray. And as we do, we want to let you know about the people that were visiting a hospice rehab elsewhere. If there's a name you don't see up there that you know is in our community who could use visitation from our care team, please don't hesitate to let us know about that. As we go to God in prayer, we should also keep in mind all those who are still recovering from both Hurricane Michael and from Hurricane Florence. We're going to begin with a time of silence so that you can share with God whatever is on your heart, joys, concerns, or you can just sit and breathe and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to you, and then I'll lead us in a time of prayer. Let's pray. In perfect harmony and union as three in one. Tune our hearts this morning to hear the pulse of your heartbeat and to move to that ancient rhythm and melody that courses throughout creation, proclaiming your great mystery, your boundless and endless love. We come to you this morning in prayer, longing for your righteousness to flow like rainwater and your justice like bubbling healing our fractured relationship in ways that create wholeness and unity that mirrors your very being. We come to you hungering for something from you that will change our lives and our world. We come hungering for honesty instead of corruption, for generosity instead of greed, for integrity instead of injury. We come hungering for our neighbors to be fed, for all to have enough honest work to provide for their basic needs. We come asking for all those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit to be healed, and that for all who grieve, they may be granted the peace and comfort only you can offer. We come hungering as individuals in the community to listen and to hear your word to us that calls us and teaches us how to participate in your great work of recreation. Become listening for the ways we can become part of the solution and not part of the problem. Become listening in awe and wonder, praying that we will have the courage to respond and act as we hear a clear word of instruction from you, as we pray together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. our kids were growing up at home, occasionally we would say to them, okay, come into the family room and we're going to sit down and have a family meeting. And we would spend a little bit of time together talking about something in particular. Well, this morning we're going to pause for a moment and we're going to have a family meeting. You all know that in 1999, we moved to this wonderful property and built these amazing facilities. We had a building team that did a great job of navigating that move and the construction here on this property. What became apparent after a few years was that the design of our roof had some flaws, and those became increasingly obvious over the years, and our building team and our trustees have done everything they can do to patch and repair and mitigate the issues that we have. But we have come to the time where we can't do that anymore. And so Trinity, we are in need of a roof. A new roof for almost the entire facility other than the brand new wing that's down closest to, that's at the far end of the building. The cost of that roof will be more than $800,000. Replacing the metal roof and much of the flat roof area as well. But we just can't hold off any longer. If you go back into what I call the hospitality room right over here, the cry room, the bride's room, whatever you want to call it, there's a pretty significant leak in the corner of that room. If you walk from the atrium down the children's hallway, the first room on the right is actually closed, because we don't feel like it's prudent to have children in that room anymore because there's such a significant leak there. And you may have noticed this interesting white thing hanging down at the top of the stained glass window. That, too, is a result of leaks. So we've done all that we can, but the time has come. So we are asking you, Trinity, to be as generous as you can so that we can cover as much of this as we possibly can with cash. That means we're inviting you to make one-time gifts. We're also inviting you to make commitments however you want to do that between now and June of 2019. We're immediately going to move forward with getting the redesign and then with getting bids and beginning to re-roof. Know that together as a family, we can do this. We can raise the roof. We've talked to some folks already about some lead gifts, and we look forward to sharing with you the commitments that a few families have already made. And I think you can look forward to the pastor's message this Thursday and finding out more about that. But I trust that together we can all do what we need to do to care for these facilities that are used by Trinity and by so many in the community, so that we can continue to be in wonderful ministry here in our community and with our children and youth and all those who come as we make disciples for Jesus Christ. So we also have the opportunity this morning to offer to God our tithes and offerings as we do every week. And I would say in my own life it's a blessing to be able to have the privilege of giving back to God some of what God has given to us. It's an honor to be able to give all that I am and all that I have. So let me invite you to bow your heads as we pray together. Grace, we hear your call to generous giving in the way that you meet our needs each day. And in the peace you give, which surpasses all understanding. Having received so much, we offer all we have, our time, our talents, and our money for your kingdom, for the sake of your kingdom. Bless these gifts for the work of your church in the world. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
3 of a series of messages for the month of October where we've been focusing on the core values of Trinity, who we are at our very core. 2 weeks ago in week 1, Catherine started us off with a message about the core value of being bound by love, being a community where our relationships are such with one another that we reflect the love of God as the body of Christ together, committed to those loving relationships. Then last week we talked about being Christ-minded, a way of being in the world where we live with such an attitude and a posture toward others and toward the world around us that is characterized by humility and grace and seeking the best, always seeking the best for the other. And today we look at number 3. And this week's core value, as you may have guessed already from some things shared earlier in the service, is big-hearted. And so today, just like last week, we're going to have an opportunity to hear from a few people who are part of the Trinity family who offered some thoughts about what comes to mind for them when they hear that phrase, big-hearted, especially related in relation to the church. So let me invite you to take a look again today at the screen.
So when I hear the word big-hearted, what comes to mind for me is compassionate, big-hearted, generous,
loving,
yes.
Loving, wide open love with no qualifications.
When I think of big-hearted, I think of a generous spirit. You want to reach out to people. You want to help them. You want to be there, whether they're in crisis or it's the good times. You're just wanting to always be available to those who are in need of any kind.
When I think of an example of Trinity being big-hearted, the one that leaps into my mind always is when the church down the road was going to be burning copies of the Quran, and our church took a stand, which I thought was marvelous and timely, and we welcomed people of different faiths, different backgrounds, to an evening of sharing culture and faith and just sharing each other, and it opened our doors to a community in such a wonderful way, and I love that we did that.
Well, being big-hearted to me really means that you have to be in a good relationship with God, and you're actively trying to seek His will and learning more about Him, and then using that to see how He can guide you to help those people that are in need around you.
This core value of big-heartedness, I like to think I live in a big-hearted way, but I think what happens when you have a church that lives in a big-hearted way, that it spills over into your life by providing you small communities, friends, a church family that we all need. And I think that when you live in a big-hearted way as a church or as an individual, you're going to find yourself surrounded by people to uphold you.
Yeah, it adds a richness, I think, that you lack if you don't have a big-hearted family surrounding.
Without this core value of being big-hearted and reaching out to others, how are we going to bring others to Christ? Because people, once they know you love them and you want to help them, they want to know where that comes from. And I think that's going to continue the growth of Trinity and continue the fact that we're serving Christ and His model, that we do need to reach out and be available. And that when we love people, the greatest commandment, then we're going to bring them to Christ.
We're Christians by our own.
Many thanks to the Cornelius and the Haynes for participating in this week's video. Patrick Lencioni, in his book, The Advantage, says that core values are behavioral traits that are inherent to an organization. They are characteristics that lie at the heart of an organization's identity. They're not something that you manufacture, they're something that already are. Well, certainly, big-hearted seems to be a fit for the people of Trinity as we look across the span of this church's existence and think about stories and examples from across the years. You know, with each of these core values, as they were discerned last year, there were some supporting words that were given as well to help kind of flesh out the idea of what we mean by each core value. And so for Big Hearted, there are five words. The first one is welcoming. And when I think about this church being welcoming, you heard Beth talk about that time when Trinity opened its heart and its facilities wide to create a space here for people from across the community of all faiths, of all backgrounds, to gather for peace, hope, and understanding. You know, that very gathering is something that when Catherine and I first got here and were getting to know you all and asked the question at home gatherings, what do you remember that is of significance to you? That was a story that kept coming up over and over again, and how important that was in terms of speaking about who Trinity is. Big-hearted also means compassionate. And I think of our partnership with Family Promise, our mission box for today, actually, and for the connection that Trinity has made in terms of partnering with that organization to care for persons who find themselves homeless and to help with the transition, even by us offering space here in our facilities once every 2 to 3 months for people to stay here, to have shelter as they work their way back to being home secure again. Another aspect of being big-hearted is being mission-focused. And certainly as you think about all the mission trip opportunities, all the places that Trinity goes to serve and to love, the mission boxes that happen week after week that help support ministries and missions in our community and beyond, the missionaries that we support financially, and then the way in which people in this church are ready to mobilize whenever there is a disaster or a crisis, and there are folks who will go and serve and be the hands and feet of Christ in the midst of disaster and wreckage. Another aspect of being big-hearted is loving our neighbors. And one of the things that comes to mind for me with that is our budding and emerging connection with folks in the northeast part of Gainesville, what has come to be known as Faith Mission, and our desire as a church to be connected with our brothers and sisters from another part of Gainesville and find ways to engage with each other and to mutually support and encourage one another. It just so happens that today we've got some of the folks from our Faith Mission leadership team that are here with us, which is folks who are a part of Trinity and Bartley Temple and other places that represent that community. Would you all stand for just a minute so that folks can see you? They're all sitting together right over here. I'm grateful for these people. The relationships that they are building, both with each other and then the relationships that they are building in the community, are so significant and so needed. And then the fifth and final word that supports the idea of being big-hearted is this notion of being generous. It's a word that showed up in the video at least a couple of times today. And I particularly love the way that Terry framed it when she talked about people being of a generous spirit. Because that gets to the root of the issue. You know, generosity isn't something that just happens typically. Generosity is a matter of the heart. It has to do with something that is deep inside of us that spills out and overflows in expressions that offer care and support through the generosity that flows and involves our whole selves. You know, that's an important thing for us to remember when we talk about generosity, that it's not just in one way, which most often we probably think in terms of money, and that is a key way, but generosity is a matter of our whole selves. You might think of it in terms of the three T's primarily, our time, our talents, and our treasures. And the other thing for us to remember is that it's never an either-or proposition. You know, we can't, if we're going to be generous, if we're going to have a generous spirit, we can't decide that we're going to be generous with this part of our lives, but not some other part of it. Because that is our tendency to resist and to hold back. And if we hold back in any one area, then we will be resisting the work that God wants to do on expanding our hearts to their fullest capacity. It makes me think of the hymn, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before the opening of the sun above." And God wants our hearts to be opened wide so that in every way and in every aspect, we are overflowing with generosity. A generous spirit is something that emerges out of an awareness and thanksgiving for God's unconditional love and generosity with us first. So I want to tell you a story today, a story that comes to us from the book of Exodus. And it is, in my mind, one of the greatest stories of collective generosity there is. So let me set the background for you a little bit before I read and kind of walk us through this passage. So the book of Exodus, you perhaps remember, is the story of the people of God, the people of Israel, being taken from, being liberated from slavery in the land of Egypt, and going into the wilderness and traveling for many years in the wilderness until that point where they're just about ready to cross over and into the promised land. And so Exodus tells us about that story, tells us about Moses leading them out, tells us about them passing through the Red Sea with God's blessing, tells us about them wandering in the wilderness. And remember that at one point in their wandering, Moses is called up to Mount Sinai to have a conversation with God. And Moses is giving lots of instructions to take back to the people. You remember that at the core of those instructions were the Ten Commandments. Thank you for saying commandments, not suggestions. But there were the Ten Commandments. And then in addition to that, there was all the law, the full law of what would represent the covenant between God and the people, how they were to live in relationship to each other and to God in order to be faithful. And also, in that time that Moses spent with God, 40 days, Scripture tells us, on Mount Sinai, in that time, Moses also received very specific instructions about building a tabernacle. A tabernacle that would be a sign of God's presence with the people as they moved through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. Now, the detail was so specific that it takes 7 chapters in the book of Exodus to describe everything that is supposed to be a part of that tabernacle. That's a lot of detail. And then after that, perhaps you remember that Moses, having been up there for 40 days, comes back and he's all excited to tell the people all that he has heard and seen and what God has revealed to him, only to find that the people have gotten impatient and have gotten tired of waiting. And in their impatience, and in their perhaps even beginning to doubt, they have decided to create an idol to make and fashion their own god, if you will, and thrown lots of their wealth toward building this golden calf that they are bowing down and worshiping. So Moses is distraught and angry and frustrated, and he smashes the tablets that he has brought down from the mountain with him. And then he goes back up the mountain again, and he pleads on the people's behalf. Say, God, you know, this did not go well. Let's try this again. And when Moses comes back down the second time, it is at that point that we pick up the story where we are today in Exodus 35, a chapter that begins with Moses reminding them of the call to keep the Sabbath holy. And then he starts into this set of instructions to the people related to the construction of the tabernacle. Moses said to all the congregation of the Israelites, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Let whoever is of a generous heart," notice that word there, it's going to show up a few times, pay attention also to how often the words everyone and all show up as we read this passage today. Let everyone who is of a generous heart bring the Lord's offering. And then he starts listing the different materials that will be a part of this offering needed for the tabernacle. Gold and silver and bronze, blue and purple and crimson yarns and fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod and the breastpiece. And notice as we're going through this list that we just heard, there are lots of different types of materials. And those materials have lots of different monetary values or expense, but they all are a part of the work that needs to be done. That becomes important a little bit later in the story. And then Moses says this, all who are skillful among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. So here we get an example of how the generosity that is needed from the people in order to do the work that is called for is not just a monetary matter. It's a matter of people using the skills and the talents that they have, the gifts that they have, as a part of the work of the whole community together. The tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its clasps and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases. The ark with its poles, the mercy seat, and the curtain for the screen. The table with its poles and all its utensils and the bread of the presence. The lampstand also for the light with its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light. And the altar of incense with its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the entrance. Who realized there was this much detail in Exodus about what the tabernacle is supposed to be like? And there's a lot of detail here, and this is the condensed version. This is the shrunk down, abridged version of what was in chapters 25 through 31 that Moses is now giving the people. The entrance of the tabernacle. The altar, we're not done yet. The altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the finely worked vestments for ministering in the holy place. There is no detail left out here. The holy vestments for the priest Aaron and the vestments of his sons for their service as we get to this, having outlined all that is needed, then all the congregation of the Israelites withdrew from the presence of Moses. We're going to hit the pause button right here. So Moses has shared the message. He has made the ask, if you will, of the gathered congregation to bring what is needed in order for the community of faith to do the work that is needed to accomplish God's purposes. And then Moses sends them home. And in that moment, Moses cannot possibly know what the response will be, right? He doesn't know how the people of Israel are going to respond to the ask. I mean, after all, let's remember that it wasn't long before this when they got tired of waiting for Moses and they decided they would take things into their own hands and throw a bunch of their wealth at a golden calf. So Moses can't be sure in this moment how they are going to respond. This is the pause button that happens every year in almost every congregation of faith across America. Between the week when a pastor or a leader casts an opportunity to the congregation to say, let's do ministry together in the coming year, and let's all bring what we can in order to make it happen. And then everybody goes home to their homes. And the pastor can't know in that moment what the Verse 21, we beginning of what the response turns out to be from the people of Israel. And they came. Everyone whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing, there is that word that starts showing up. Everyone. All. And brought the Lord's offering to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the sacred vestments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and pendants, all sorts of gold objects, everyone bringing an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or crimson yarn or fine linen or goat's hair or tan ram skins or fine leather brought them. Now notice, it doesn't say that everybody had those specific things, but it says that everybody who did have them brought them. People brought what they could. Not everybody had the same thing, but they brought what they could, and they brought what they did have to offer. Everyone who could make an offering of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's offering. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. All the skillful women spun with their hands, back to that labor as a way of overflowing in generosity, and brought what they had spun in blue and purple and crimson yarns and fine linen. All the women whose hearts moved them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. Why? Because it was the leaders among the people of Israel who had the capacity to bring those items that were the most expensive to be able to be a part of the offering. And so the leaders did what leaders do. They led. And spices and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women whose hearts made them willing to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. What a story. What a remarkable story. This is a story that for us can be an image of church, the gathered congregation, the gathered body of Christ at its best. There is something really important and really powerful about all of us being invested together. And here's one of the things that this story reminds us. As part of the gathered congregation, we don't all have the same capacity in terms of generosity when it comes to quantity. But we sure do have the same capacity in terms of quality, in terms of each offering our own best. And the collective generosity of a congregation is an extraordinary thing that can let loose ministries and possibilities far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine for ourselves. In fact, in this story, the unimaginable happens when we turn the page to the next chapter. In chapter 36, we hear this amazing thing that as the people begin to bring all of their offerings to do the work that is needed, a point comes in which those who are doing the work, the laborers on the tabernacle, they stop for a moment and they go to Moses to say, "Moses, the people are bringing too much. We have more than enough. Please tell them to stop." Now think about that with me for a moment. Imagine with me, if you will, in the year 2019, imagine us coming to you one Sunday in October, let's say, and saying to you, church, we have already together offered more than enough to fulfill all of the ministries that we had imagined for a church budget for this year. We have already met all of the needs of doing all of those ministries in the budget. And so for the rest of the year, whatever we offer, man, we're going to be able to dream together about how we can use that for purposes beyond anything that we had imagined possible. Would that be a great day or what? I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, that is what happens in this story. The generosity is so overflowing that there is more than enough. So here's my invitation. Next Sunday, every one of us has an opportunity to come with a commitment in hand that says, this is what I can do. Not what somebody else can do. This is what I can do, and this is what I want to offer as a part of what God wants to do through all of us together. And I want you to imagine a moment in next week's service when every one of us offers what we can. And to just wait and see what God will do. God can do abundantly far more than we can ever ask or imagine. It begins with thanksgiving for His generosity to us, and then overflows with a big-hearted response back to God. God, thank you. Thank you for your abundant blessings to us. Thank you for giving us each the opportunity to be a part of what you want to do for your church. Inspire us. Nudge us. To do what we do.
Each week as we come to the table, we remember and experience God's abundance and generosity. We come and we offer our thanks and praise. All the time, everywhere, it is good to offer God thanks and praise. God who created heaven and earth. God who created abundance in the Garden of Eden. And God who created each one of us and gave us life. And we experience God's gracious and overflowing love. And that we know that we turned away from God and our love failed. But God's love remains strong and unconditional. We know that when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, God's abundance provided for them with manna and with quail. And God welcomed them into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then when the time was right, God's abundant generosity came in human form in Jesus Christ to live and to be with us, to be God with us, to show us how to live. When preaching to the people, God again brought abundance stood the disciples of Mount and he took a loaf of bread and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to God and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come because our spirits are stirred and our hearts are willing when we offer ourselves, all that we are and all that we have, back to God. Let's pray for it. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And, oh God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until you come again and we feast at your heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, in this your church we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come in. Receive the elements at the altar. In Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, this table is a place where everyone is welcome. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. All who repent of your sin and who seek to live a life following after him. So you are invited to come and to experience God's presence. We invite you to come out the left side of your section and go to the prayer servers in front of that section. Cup your hands to receive a piece of bread, and then you can take the bread and dip it into the cup and return to your seats by the other side. There's also gluten-free available on the far side of each side, and we just invite you to ask the service closest to that station, and we would be happy to serve you. You can also spend as much time as you like in prayer at the healing dishes, either before or after the seat. So I welcome you. Come to the feast in the very thing is ready.
And I hope I got good things.
can seal it for thy poor soul.
We've done this one a few times, so we're only going to do the chorus, so I want you to listen to the chorus the first time and then join in the second time.
Make me your vessel. Make me an offering.
Into the world to live big-hearted lives that offer the grace and the love of Christ to others, trusting that God has first loved